The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Little thought to making a phone call today. The idea of transmitting human voice through electrical wires was a feat of industrial magic back in 1876. This month marks the 150th anniversary of Alexander Graham Bell's invention of the telephone. From its humble beginnings in a laboratory in Boston to the global network of today, this was one of the most significant inventions of the late 19th century. Joining me now is News Talk Simon Tierney, who's been exploring the archives. Hello, Simon.
Morning, Claire.
Lovely to see you. Bring us back to the beginning. Do we know what happened during that first phone call?
Yeah, it's extraordinary. So Bell had actually set up a 40-foot wire connecting a transmitter and a receiver in his laboratory. And he was convinced, Claire, that if the telegraph system could send messages using electrical pulses, then the vibrations of the human voice could also be sent in a similar way. And in March of 1876, 150 years ago, as you said, after a lot of experimentation, he muttered the famous words, "Mr. Watson, come here, I want you." Now, his assistant said, Thomas Watson, he was in a different part of the building where the receiver was located, and he heard him speaking. So Bell's hypothesis was correct, and the world's first telephone conversation had taken place.
And we don't have a recording of it, sadly, into the first foray into the era of the telephone, but we do have archive footage of the world's first transatlantic call, which happened a few decades later.
Yeah, so the first transatlantic call, it lasted for just 3.5 minutes, and at £5 per minute in 1920s currency, I've been crunching the numbers, Claire, it cost just under £1,000 in today's money. So that gives you a sense of how expensive this tech was, but also how inaccessible it was to ordinary people. Now, the service launched on January the 7th, 1927, when Walter Gifford, the head of AT&T, which is actually the descendant of the company that was first set up by Alexander Graham Bell, he spoke with Evelyn Murray from the General Post Office in London. Here's an excerpt.
Hello? Yes, Mr. Gifford? Oh, good morning, Sir Evelyn. Hello? Morning. Do you hear all right, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. Sir Evelyn, today, as a result of very many years of research and experimentation, we open a telephonic channel of speech between New York and London. Thus, the people of these two great cities will be brought within speaking distance.
I now declare the service open to the public.
Thank you, Sir Evelyn.
Good morning,
Mr. Goodbye, sir.
Pure awkward, wasn't it?
Very awkward. Like, who's supposed to speak first? Who speaks next?
Yeah. Like, how do you know? You just don't know how to communicate using this medium because it's so new, because every single communication was written down and so prepped and thought about
in
advance.
Well, you say that. I mean, Alexander Graham Bell himself suggested that when you are saying hello to somebody that you should say ahoy. And it was Thomas Edison that suggested, no, I think we should say hello instead.
We should have stuck with it. Let's go back to ahoy, will we? So that was the first transatlantic phone call. That's 1927. And then the telephone experiences rapid progress after that. And it was put to the ultimate test in 1969. So what happened then?
Yeah, so a forgotten achievement, really, Claire, of the moon landing that year was that it gave occasion to the longest distance phone call in history, actually still not surpassed to this day. And in his autobiography, Buzz Aldrin says the call from President Nixon was completely unexpected and was actually quite awkward because it wasn't part of the schedule for their time on the moon. So he let Neil do the talking. Now, despite this, it was an extraordinary expression of telephone technology in the sense that it connected two callers across a vast distance. Now, Nixon himself, he actually joked afterwards, "I'd hate to get the toll charges on that call." Let's have a listen.
Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made from the White House. I just can't tell you how proud we all are of what you have done. Because of what you have done, the heavens have become a part of man's world. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done, and one in our prayers that you will return safely to earth.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but and of peace of all nations, and with interest and a curiosity and with a vision for the future. Honor for us to be able to participate here today.
And thank you very much, and I look forward, all of us look forward to seeing you on the Hornet on Thursday.
Look forward to that very much, sir.
So it's clear that Richard Nixon's bit was very well prepped and scripted.
Sure, yeah.
But the two lads, God help them, floating around up there, you know, with their lives in their hands, expected to respond to this in a way that was going to be bizarre. Made public.
Bizarre. Do we have to speak to this guy now? Like, better things to do?
But they did it. They managed it. And they held their own. Bringing us back to Ireland now, the phone network and its development here after its invention 150 years ago. How long did it take us to get our heads around
it? Yeah, so it was pretty quick, to be honest, Claire. The first telephone exchange opened just down the road from us here at Marconi House on Dame Street in 1880, 4 years after Bell's patent. And it had 5 subscribers. You had to subscribe to the network at that time. But by the 60s, there were telephone switchboards spread across the country, some in post offices, others in dedicated exchanges. Although in some areas, there was still a 2 to 5 year wait to get a landline installed in your house until the early 80s, actually.
And it was a great employer, wasn't it?
It really was. I mean, we forget that these exchanges had armies of operators manually connecting callers, plugging and unplugging patch cords into jacks. For example, the Carrick on Shannon exchange I was looking at yesterday, they still employed 78 staff when the system went automatic in the mid-80s. And there were actually 4,000 operators employed all around the country. So that switch to automatic, it had a really profound influence, not just on the way we used the telephone in Ireland, but it also made a huge amount of people redundant in the late 80s. So here's Tom McSweeney now. He observed the closure of a telephone exchange for RTE Television in West Cork in March of 86.
This is the sign of progress. The new automatic telephone exchanges which are dotting the countryside and the sophisticated instrumentation which can double and treble what the old system was capable of. A technician makes the final adjustments to the applause of board telecom hierarchy and ends an era. Automation takes over. And this is what it all replaces. The local manual exchange in the village sub-post office. A piece of history here in the village of Inchigeela in West Cork. The last local manual exchange in the county.
Hello.
A manual telephone exchange in a local village is very much more than just the centre of communications for that area. In fact, as a former operator of one of these boards, I can tell you, it's very much a social centre too. One that involves a whole family, a 24-hour service in most of them, and that means getting out of bed at odd hours of the night to answer the phone.
Well, that's interesting. So Tom did the job himself, Tom McSweeney,
back in
1986. I'd say as well, when it went automatic, there was a sense that you had your privacy.
Oh, absolutely.
There's nobody listening.
I mean, some
to
of the lines were open in small parts of the country, local areas of the country, and people were listening in, and people would be saying, is there someone on the line? If you could hear a tapping, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Oh, and there was somebody on the line having a good old nosy, you can imagine.
Yeah.
So then we come up to the 1990s, Simon, and the telephone is very firmly at this point woven in firmly into Irish life, and we're all on the phone for hours to our friends when we're in school and we shouldn't be, and we're getting shouted at home. How did it affect communications in that decade?
Yeah, so by 1990, 64% of Irish homes had a landline. I was a little bit surprised by that statistic, Claire. So still a lot of people depended on a very unreliable payphone service, or even dropping down to their local pub or the priest's house or the GP's house or something like that.
But it's low, isn't it? 64% in 1990.
Yeah, it really gives you a sense of how things changed. But for a lot of people who were connected to the network, I suppose the phone gave a dimension not just to their social lives, but to TV entertainment as well. And I remember so clearly when I was a kid, the highlight of the Late Late Show in the mid-90s was when Gay Byrne picked up the telephone at the end of the show, sort of 11 o'clock, 11.30 at night, to find out who the winner of the competition that week
the
was.
Postal, postcard
the
competition,
postcard
yeah.
The postcard competition. There might be a car or something like that. And the home landline really brought ordinary people into the conversation, I think, in that way. And this led to a very special moment in one particular 1997 episode.
Ah, we have a ringing tone. By Jove.
You are right there, Dolt. You are. Very good. Well, let's hope for the best anyway, see if there's anybody at all.
Hello?
Ah! Could I speak to Peter Lavelle, please?
Who's calling? Oh, yes. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, no. Hello. I'm sorry. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I
should think so, too.
I'm very sorry. Hello, Gay.
How are you?
Oh, Siri Lavelle. How are you?
I'm looking for Peter.
Oh, God almighty. He's out playing tennis.
He's what?
Oh, Lord. Gee, I can't believe my card was picked. David.
Well, I'm very sorry, Dolt, but I can only speak to the person on the card.
Okay, I'm always sending in a card. Oh, Lord, you can't ask me the question.
Who are you?
I'm Mary, his wife.
Well, Mary, I'm very sorry, but our adjudicator is here, Dennis McGivney Nolan, and I can only speak to the person on the card. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
That's right?
I was watching your show, all right. I just put my little son to bed there when the...
I'm sorry, darling. I can't ask you the question.
I'm a great fan of yours, Gay.
Well,
oh,
thank you very much. You're making me feel bad now. The rules is rules, regulations is regulations.
Oh, no, I'm on the television, David, but, look.
Would you tell Peter, please, that I'm very sorry I missed him?
Oh, God, he should be back from the tennis club. Oh, God.
But sure, I can't wait. We've only 3 minutes to go
on
the show.
I don't.
But I'm very sorry, darling.
I'm talking to Gay.
But thank you all the same.
I'm just telling my little son I'm talking to you. I can't believe it.
Well, that's very kind of you, and thank you.
I missed out on a lovely car. I kill him when he comes back.
I hadn't heard that before. That's a classic.
It's a great one, isn't it?
She's overcome. And it's lovely to hear. It's always lovely to hear Gay's voice. What was your man doing playing tennis at 11 o'clock at night?
A few pints after,
I'd say. I'd say that was it. Simon, thank you so much. Gay Byrne, that was in 1997, and showcasing the role that landline telephones had on Irish entertainment in that decade. Simon, that was great. Thanks so much. Simon Tierney there on the 150th anniversary of the telephone. Some messages coming in. I can remember phoning my then girlfriend at boarding school. The school number was Banagher 19. Another one, my sisters worked in the International Exchange in Marlborough Street in Dublin for some very juicy conversations. The entire floor was tuned in. Simon, I knew it.
Wow.
I knew that's what they did. I mean, you couldn't not, could you, if you were an operator, especially in a local town?
Yeah.
Great way to find out the news.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.